Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Dirt and Sprague.
First down and 10. Green Bay 36 for Philadelphia. Shotgun snap. Fake to Bigsby. Back to pass. Hurts goes long. Arching spiral down the middle. Leaping catch at the goal line. Touchdown at the goal line. Devontae Smith.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Looking. No timeouts left. The pass comes to Bain. Bain hoisting at the buzzer. He throws it. It's magic on a Monday night. 115, 112, the final.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
You all right over there?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I probably sound like hell, but I feel fine.
No, you sound okay. I just was worried about you dragging that out, given what was happening yesterday.
The only fear I have right now, I got a little sick over the weekend. The only fear I got right now is losing my voice. That's my only concern. It's starting to, it's like probably we're 6.8 out of 10 right now on the voice strength scale.
I've been there.
That's my only concern currently. So I can't yell. Don't get me riled up about anything today.
I had that yesterday. I had our first basketball practice.
Sure, you start yelling at practice. Let's go, let's go. Set screens, set screens.
It's not like yelling at the kids. It was more like we were in the main high school gyms, which is massive, right? Because the bleachers fold out, but they were all folded up. So we had three courts, and there was other teams in there also practicing.
So you got all this noise, balls bouncing, whistles going, coaches hollering.
You
got
to project that voice.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, we're doing this! And it was like that for an hour and a half, and I'm like, by the end of it, I was drinking water, I'm like, am I going to lose my voice?
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, it wasn't great.
Used to happen when I would go to, you know, sporting events and yell the entire game. You'd lose it for a day or something like that, but it doesn't happen very often in adult life. Let me ask you this as a coach, are you a Jason Garrett clapper? Because I have a feeling if I coach, like we love making fun of Jason Garrett, I feel like I would be a Jason
Especially
Garrett.
With younger kids, yeah, you like, want to hey, be encouraging.
You know, what's the age where younger kids no longer applies to you in your mind?
High school.
11, 12.
Okay. These are 13, 14-year-old girls.
So do we clap or no?
We clap. I'm a far more positive, encouraging coach.
You coach him up. You don't coach him down.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, we all have different ways of operating, right?
Yes, we do.
So there were some kids that were dabbling with maybe coming on our team versus staying with a different team that they're on.
Oh. We had a little recruiting scandal.
Your NIL package
what was the pitch that was made? Yeah. Did you promise some playing time?
No,
get in a car? Do they buy a, you know?
I'm not.
Sprague rental house going to a family of an elite ball player? Like, what are we talking about here? What kind of shenanigans are we getting into?
Where's mom and dad live? Do they need to be closer? Let us know.
We got a 105.1 The Fan NIL agreement that's reached. We're going to get to shout these players out now once a week on the show.
No, but it would be funny me, I think high school is a lot closer to that world than you would assume.
Yes, it is.
There's some stuff
is.
That I've heard that I'm just like, what? That's happening for a sophomore?
Kids are transferring. They're going school to school.
Always curious when particular athletes end up on the other side of the lake in Lake Oswego. It's been going on for decades.
Ours was always, wait. They're going to Central Catholic?
Yeah, that was always it for us.
They live in Northeast Portland.
Or Jesuit. Jesuit or Central Jesuit, Catholic would get the kids, and you're like, wait, that kid lives in the Grant District. What are you talking about?
Right, right.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
Well, he's super religious, and it's a scholarship.
You find out,
oh, yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I'm sure. They didn't go scout the 8th grade boys' basketball game when he scored 38 points. That had nothing to do with it.
I definitely didn't see him at a party making out with somebody else's girlfriend.
No, he's crazy. He's Catholic.
Father, forgive him.
He is Catholic. Nothing to see here. Don't worry, he's gonna go be a 5-star recruit.
No, but it was along the lines of like, so it came to like a situation we had before the season had officially started, right? Yesterday's our first practice, and got a phone call of like, hey, they had a lot of fun at your practice open gym. And I'm like, that's great.
Go, Coach Spray.
It was great to have them out there. We loved having them. We look forward to having them on the team. Well, they're on another team. But they don't play, like, at all. And then when they get in, they get screamed at right away. And I go, everybody's got a different style. That's not my style. Yeah, but they got friends on the team, so I think we're going to roll with that. And I go, good luck to you.
You do what you want to do, boo.
Good luck to you.
I mean, if they're not playing for the other team, I don't even know if you want them. Now we're just getting, like, riffraff.
Is there a transfer window? Is there a trade deadline?
Is it closed?
Once you start?
No more team and player movement. Now it's locked down for the rest of the year.
Well, like, give it 2 more weeks of practice or something, and they're like, oh, this, we should have, yeah.
I don't think that person is going to change the mind. I did leave a window of, like, grace period of, like, hey, if there's still no playing time. They'll play on our team.
Yeah, come on.
Come on in. But, you know, there's a window there.
The season's going to begin relatively soon.
It's bizarre, dude. It's 13 and 14-year-old girls basketball, and it's like the amount of drama and, like, I'm not recruiting, but, yeah, kind of like I'm not going to badmouth anybody else's team or whatever, but
you know everybody in the league now at this point, though, I'd imagine. Like, you got an idea.
Well, it's not the same league.
Okay,
it's
we got a new league now?
It's so bizarre. I can't get into too many details on the air.
Sure.
But it's like club versus club / school, so it's just like there's 3 or 4 different versions of this. It's not pretty, dude. I'm telling you,
it's not.
Buckle
fun.
Up, buttercup.
I know this is my future. I know you're giving me the crash course on what it's going to look like 7, 8, 10 years down the road. It's not going to be fun.
If there's 2 things I've warned you about as a parent, one, it is your kid's going to get you sick.
Yeah, it's happening all the time,
and I don't feel like you actually openly disregarded when I told you this when my children were like very tiny, like Teddy's age.
But I got the immune system of an iron skillet. I'll
see,
be
that
fine.
That was the
not worried over here. All right, I eat bagels off of the ground in the parking lot.
Those
okay,
are different.
I have
strain.
Built up this immune system for 35 years.
Different strain of virus.
Nothing to see here. I'll never be sick. Yeah. Now I'm sick every other week.
You had a little bit of a Dan Lanning. I felt like in the moment, like, well, being sick's a choice, and I'm like, well, not when 95 children are impacting your child.
Yeah, I think earlier this, or maybe it was late last week, when he was sitting in my lap, and I don't even know what we were doing. We were playing or something, and he sneezed in my face as his nose was starting to run, and I just. Okay, cool. There goes my weekend. Can't wait to see when this one's going to hit. And like Friday evening, I'm like, yep, I'm definitely getting sick now. Awesome.
I had a pre-practice like talk about expectations and whatever. And I said, look, family emergency, being sick. Okay, you can miss practice, right? Let me know. A vacation that your parents planned.
Right.
Other than
something
that,
on the books.
Be at practice. But if you're at practice and you're sick, and you get me sick,
we're going to have some issues here.
You will not play.
You're getting benched.
I literally said that. I'm like, I will bench you. I hate being sick. I cannot be sick for my job. And I'm a weenie when I'm sick.
Yeah.
Do not come to practice sick.
It is the man cold. The man cold will take anybody down, man. The man cold's hard to overcome. You just want to lay on the couch, cuddle up, and I don't want to do anything. But you got to battle through. It is being a choice. We're here today. But I'm with you. The kids getting sick is brutal. I'm terrified of the sports stuff. I'm like relatively I enjoy that my niece is getting into basketball. She's about the same age as your daughter, but she doesn't do any of the like club basketball stuff. Mm. And so she just went out for tryouts the other day, and it was just the middle school team. And that's all that they play. And it's only like a small month, you know, a couple of month calendar year. You try out, you play other middle schools, and that's it. They don't do any club thing.
So that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing with my team.
But then you take it a little step further and play some club teams.
The middle school doesn't officially have a team that my daughter goes to. So in a
there's your issue, yeah.
It's a club, but like we're trying to make it.
Everybody's from the school.
Yeah, and they're playing on the high school together, and then they'll play the, you know, the Putnams and the Greshams and the whatnots.
Because you want to, if you get the school thing, that's like the first time it becomes really fun when you're like playing with your friends, your classmates.
Yes.
You're playing other kids from other schools that eventually some you'll play against in high school, or some will feed into the same high school for you so you get to know them when you play against them. Like, that's the way that it's supposed to be. None of these kids are going pro. Everybody needs to calm down.
No, none of them will go pro. Not even the best ones. Like, the statistics just say barely any of them will make money on NIL in college with scholarship stuff.
99.9% of them, their careers will be done in like 5 years. That's it.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. Have fun while you can.
I was talking to a parent about this, and I go, when did this happen? And they were like, roughly around the time they eliminated middle school team sports. And I went, great funding decision by us.
We need somebody to run on that political platform. Like, that's my cause. We're going to put some money into middle schools.
So that's the problem. You're going to be telling people, I'm going to tax you some more and bring back sports. And they're like, hell no, you will not.
Have you seen how much it's going to cost to rebuild my old high school? You're telling me we don't have, like, I don't know, $100,000 sitting around to have a middle school basketball team and a middle school soccer team and buy some jerseys and make a schedule and pay for some coaches and officials? We can make this happen. Come on.
Why is Phil Knight not?
He's giving nothing, man.
Has he really never given anything to
Cleveland? I don't know the answer to that, but I don't. From my knowledge, he has never donated a lot to Cleveland High School.
Because he just donated for the district around the Moda Center.
Yes, he did. And he's
which is like barely up the highway from you.
Have you seen Oregon's new indoor practice facility they're building?
Oh, man, it looks beautiful.
I mean, yeah, it looks like it's built in the year 2075. It doesn't make any sense.
Is that one of those things that, like, we know he funded the entire thing, but they're pretending it was, like, the Duck alumni?
I don't know if they've ever claimed where that money is directly coming from. He just had, what did they give to the Knight Cancer Institute, too?
No, $2 billion.
Like, that's a lot of money. That guy's sitting on cash, man.
I'm not calling him out. He does a lot more than I'll ever do.
It was controversial when we were in high school because we were one of the last schools in the area to get lights on our football field. And I'll never forget the night. It was a huge deal. We finally got it my sophomore year. But before then, every varsity football game had to be played at 4 o'clock on a Friday.
I know.
Because there were no lights. And it was the worst. You get out of school
we had
like
4:30. O'clock game once at Cleveland. I'm like, what?
What is 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock. Yeah, didn't have lights, man. Later in the year, you couldn't play home games. You got to go play road games because we didn't have lights.
Grant still has to do that. They bought lights, but they can't install them or something.
Big deal
weird.
In the neighborhood. Wait, the neighborhood folk didn't want them to go up.
They bought lights, but they can't
they
install
raised
them.
Money. They had.
For the Grant Bowl. They want to be able to play their home games.
The neighborhood
games
is all upset about having traffic in there at night or something. Yes. There's some weird thing.
Because, like, across the street is it's a beautiful neighborhood.
I know.
Yeah, it's the old rich people. Yeah,
there's a lot of old rich people.
Well, Lakeridge didn't have. When I went there, we played our games at Lake Oswego High School because, again, it's in a neighborhood. They didn't have lights and they didn't want. So it wasn't
and
until.
With that riffraff out there at 9 o'clock on a Friday night.
People so scared, dude. It's like, oh, all these people will be around our house. It's going to happen to our cars.
The school was built in 1971. When did you not know that
there was a school here?
Yeah, if you bought your house in 65 and there was no school, okay, fine. I'll listen to you. But otherwise.
We need to take this to court. This needs to be a legitimate lawsuit of, like, school bought lights, can't put them up, neighborhood argue. I need to hear. I'd love to watch, like, a Judge Judy television style show.
What's the anti-argument? What's the no lights argument?
It's definitely parking, noise, and brightness, but I would still say, like, is that more important than not allowing a school to play at their own field on a Friday night and letting those kids experience what a Friday night lights
and
is?
How many of those people who don't want the lights and the noise in their neighborhood love to have the benefit of when their kids are high school age, my kid can walk 2 blocks away to high school?
Well, a lot of
so you love living that close to high school and your kid goes to that school, but if you don't, then, you know, let's get some lights up here. What are we doing?
That would just be so fun to have the Judge Judy theme music and then watch a Grant representative walk in and then, like, the HOA president of the Grant neighborhood.
Yeah, they rebuilt that entire school. Grant High School is beautiful now, man. They rebuilt that entire thing. And that was the one thing I remember, like, are they going to put lights on that football field? And it has not happened yet. So good luck in the future, Grant, because that sucks when you can't do that.
Really stupid.
It's really stupid. They used to have to go play their home games at other schools when they played night games.
That's ridiculous.
Because you didn't have any options, man.
But our Park Rose, as bad as we are, at least we had lights.
At least you had lights. You play night games over there.
We do.
No issues. Well, we got a lot to get to today, boys.
It's a loaded show.
We do. It's a big Tuesday.
A lot of, you know what? Do a little show tease for you. We got NFL Factoid Tuesday, of course.
Yes.
This show is going to somehow morph into anti-Notre Dame rhetoric.
I love it.
But not from us.
Ooh. No.
Ooh, who's pooping on Notre Dame?
Like, three coaches spoke out yesterday. A conference spoke out, a coach spoke out, and another coach spoke out.
Hmm.
I don't know what Notre Dame did to anybody.
Not being a conference, that's what they did.
Well, like, clearly it's bothered people to the point where now people are talking about Notre Dame.
Got to play Navy this weekend, you know.
You know, some thought that game would be close.
I think they've played the only, outside of USC, I think they've only played the bottom, like, three teams in the ACC and the bottom three teams in the Big Ten or something like that.
Well, yeah, they're not, yeah, their schedule.
But they're back
hasn't.
In the top ten. Who cares if they lost two games?
Yeah.
Come on, look who they lost to. That matters.
So we'll get to a lot of coach audio today. We'll hear from PJ Fleck. Row, row, row your boat.
Friend of the program. Not of me, because I wasn't here, but he's a friend of the program.
Is he going to be a friend of the program this week? Have you heard anything?
I have not heard. I sent the request, okay. And we'll see.
He was fun. He's just a fun interview. He's got good energy.
Dude, he's done a really good job at Minnesota. Like, we make fun of him for the culture stuff and the row the boat. It's really,
and he's,
it's a little douchey, but it works.
It out there, too. I mean, that was, he's been there a while.
I think he understands, like, this isn't, I'm not going to get fired. I'm winning six to seven, eight games every year.
He's got the good life.
I got a good life.
He's Matt Campbell.
He's Matt Campbell of Minnesota. And he's not going to win a big game very often. He's not going to win a Big Ten title, but he's making how much money to coach football?
I'll say this. We love to make fun of the cheesy, corny thing. Get into coaching. Coach a sport in your life, and you'll go, kind of need like a cheesy, corny thing.
You got to get something to get your players to buy in.
Yeah. I mean, like Lanning, every week they did the Ducks versus them tease yesterday, and he's just like, a warrior doesn't comply to mouse conditions. A warrior adapts to them. And I'm just like, is that kind of corny? Yeah. But like, dude, it resonates and it works.
But it's a simple message. It's easy to digest and understand and what coach
everybody row the boat in the same direction.
Wants to get your head around.
I will say, though, of all the ones, rowing the boat doesn't really move my needle much, but it works for him, I guess. He wrote a book about it.
He did. Yeah,
it's like a 45-page book. I read it once at Barnes & Noble.
Is he the second longest tenured Big Ten coach?
Oh, let's look that up before we get to the audio.
Kirk Ferentz is obviously the longest. His first year was 2017. Does anybody predate 2017?
Was Matt Campbell at Iowa State?
Iowa State's not in the Big Ten.
That's a Big 12 school.
Yeah, what am I doing there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I just mentioned him. That's why it was in my brain.
He'd be in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten because the bottom of the conference isn't very good. When did Ryan Day take over?
Ooh.
He's the only one that would be close. He's been there 6 or 7 years.
Is there anybody we're forgetting?
We'll look through it and we'll get to it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Let's start with the Monday Night Football game. Did we hold the line, or do we find a way to watch this one? Mike Richmond will join us at 8:30 today, so we'll dive in a little Blazers. What's wrong with the Packers? And was that elite defense or really bad offense? Let's talk about that. Start the show. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season. Streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I asked the question before the break. We had to Factoid Tuesday. Was that elite defense or problematic offense?
I think the answer has to be a little bit of both. But the concern, I don't have as much concern on Philly's side because this is just who Philly is.
Like, we not predict, by the way, on the show yesterday to a T, they'll go through spurts of doing nothing?
Yeah.
They'll hit a big play, touchdown Devonta Smith.
There's your bomb.
Do nothing, kick a field goal, boom.
Play good defense. Let me guess, Phillips is going to have a monster game after somehow the Dolphins were allowed to trade him to Philly. And there we go. They're going to win. They should have stepped in. They should have colluded, and I'm pissed that they didn't because now they got another elite edge rusher, and he was all over the field last night making plays for that defense. I just, like, when you win a Super Bowl, you get the benefit of the doubt. They weren't perfect offensively at all last year at times. There were times where A.J. Brown was reading books on the sideline. He was so pissed he wasn't getting the football. Like, that's who they've been. They won a Super Bowl last year doing this. And so I don't think you ever overreact to anything that happens with Philadelphia at this point. The reaction is on the other side. The reaction was on Green Bay's side, who was coming off an embarrassing loss at home to Carolina. And a team 2 weeks into the year, we all thought, I mean, I was all over it saying, like, they look like the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah.
Look what they did to Detroit. Like, look how well they're starting. Their offense is clicking. Their defense looks dominant. Everything seemingly is pointing in the right direction for them. And then you add head-scratching losses on top of that offensive performance last night. And yes, Philadelphia has a dominant defense. Nobody's going to deny that. But they're just, they look clunky. They couldn't pick up a first down for half of the game, it felt like. There was no movement at all. No ball. I mean, just every, Philly at least at times was moving the ball, and then you get a Jalen Hurts fumble around the 30-yard line. Green Bay just seemingly couldn't muster any offense the entire game. Jordan Love was, what did he start, like 2 of 8 for 10 yards? Like, it was horrific what they were doing last night in the passing game.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. Here's Matt LaFleur yesterday on the lack of offense in their losses.
You hold good football teams to 10 points. You should win the football game, in my opinion, but obviously didn't do enough offensively. And
you know, I've brought this up before in the past on the show. It's starting to trickle into the mainstream, though, in terms of, like, it's not me sitting here screaming like Matt LaFleur should be fired. I've just been asking openly. This dude was kind of crowned the next prince of the NFL, and they had a great start with Aaron Rodgers, and then they couldn't break through, and then they couldn't break through again, couldn't break through again. Didn't make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers in his last year at Green Bay. Then he gets Jordan Love, kind of just, hey, developed, became another franchise quarterback. Here you go. And outside of a win at Dallas, it's largely been a nothing burger. This morning after that loss, beat writer Matt Schneidman of The Athletic basically says why Packers Matt LaFleur might be coaching for his job after the loss to the Eagles. And he says, hey, is he smart on offense? Yes. Has he had a good success in Green Bay? Yes. However, this is Title Town. The number 7 seed and premature playoff exits might be good enough elsewhere. Yeah. Not here. There are 8 regular season games left, plus playoffs, and that's plenty of football for LaFleur to convince first-year team president Ed Policy that extending him is undoubtedly the right move. And is Matt LaFleur coaching for his job, I think, is where everybody kind of is today.
I would argue he should be. I mean, you made such an aggressive move in the week before the season kicking off to go add one of the best defensive players in the sport, and you mortgaged a little bit of your future to do it.
It's
and
paid off for them defensively.
Defensively, they have been dominant. What is Matt LaFleur known for?
Offense.
That's right. He's the offensive guy. He's the play caller. He's the guy that's in charge on the other side of the ball, and so I think there should be a sense of urgency in Green Bay. When you make a trade like that, you're telling me you believe your title window is open, and title windows don't last for 7 years, right? Like, this is your window now to go make something happen. And so if they end up falling short, if they don't make the playoffs, it'd be a disaster, and he should get fired. And if you make the playoffs and you lose your first game, I would argue he should be fired too. Like, it would take, if I'm in Green Bay, it would take a deep playoff run in order for him to keep his job, because there's too much of a history here now of not being able to get over the hump. And at some point, you got to look around and try and find answers. They've upgraded defensively. Mm-hmm. They've drafted a wide receiver. They got their quarterback seemingly under contract. Like, they've checked a lot of the boxes that people have said you need to in order to win. And now it comes down to the floor. And to be honest, to Jordan Love, I don't think all of last night was on him. His wide receivers weren't very good. There were some drops.
There were some big drops late in that
game. Massive drops in that game. Their offensive line got pushed around a little bit at times. You know, the last play of the game that they had on offense was, or at the time it felt like was going to be the last play, was that fourth down stop when they're moving it and you're like, all right, they're in field goal range. And then you end up getting stuffed in the fumble and you hand the ball back to Philly. And so the offensive line had a really rough night. But also, you got to find a way to get Jordan Love into a rhythm and get the offense going. It just was non-existent for 80% of that game last night.
Yeah, the tough thing here is LaFleur is calling the plays. I listened to Jordan Love's post-game, and it basically is like he thinks they have the right plan, but they have no consistency. I mean, look, he's a franchise quarterback. When you make that kind of money, it's also going to fall on you.
Yeah.
And he was another – he's kind of like his coach, like anointed before –
Really accomplishing anything. Because you won a playoff game. You win a playoff game. It's all that matters, right?
Well, let's not forget the pick sixes in that game. He has moments where he absolutely looks every bit elite as any quarterback in the game, but he also has these games. And I thought last night was more about drops and poor play calling, but he also has some really bad moments at that position every once in a while. The tough thing for Green Bay is they're 5-3-1, and I feel like they're really 5-4 because that tie.
Yeah, they played for the tie there.
They played for a tie.
That was
against
dirty.
The Cowboys.
I lost a lot of respect there.
That was probably my biggest might be out on LaFleur moment. Like, I was already kind of a little overrated in my opinion, but he's a good offensive mind. I get it. When you play for a tie, ugh. Dude, when you got that kind of talent, that grosses me out. So I don't know where you're at on the Packers. I would say right now, as of now, because the NFL's funky and weird and let's not age stupidly, they are not a contending team.
No, I'm not touching them in the NFC playoffs right now, unless the picture changes. They got New York coming up, who just fired their head coach. You get Minnesota, then you go on the road to Detroit, where they're going to be pissed off at the way week one went.
Like, they need to show you need multiple weeks of consistency for me to start buying in again.
Against the Giants and the Vikings first, and then let's see what you do in round two against Detroit when you go to their place. Because it's not just, if they didn't have the head-scratching losses and you lose last night's game the way that they lose, I don't think anybody's overreacting.
Yeah, if you beat the Cowboys and beat the Panthers and you lose last night,
Browns.
It's the Eagles.
Don't forget the Browns. No. They lost to Joe Flacco and the Browns, and they only scored 10 points. And I know Cleveland at home is a different defensive animal, but that, like, you lose your mulligans when you lose games like that.
Yeah.
And so if you just have two losses on your schedule and one of them is a 10-7 ugly defensive game to Philly on Monday Night Football, nobody's overreacting. But you're coming off a loss to Carolina, who just lost to Tyler Shuck at home. That's not a very good football team, and they went into your building and beaches. So you need multiple weeks in order to build this up. I also think you look at he's a smart offensive mind. I get it. But compare him to some of the other smart offensive mind head coaches in the NFL, and how many of them were gifted the quarterback situation that he was gifted.
Oh, 100%.
Like, Sean McVay gets it in L.A., and originally it's Jared Goff, who everybody gave up on. He takes him to a Super Bowl, and then he gets Matt Stafford. You know, you got Shanahan in San Francisco, who seemingly has done it with every quarterback he's been given, including Mac Jones right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's given Aaron Rodgers right out of the gate. They go to the playoffs and they underwhelm. He was gifted one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he's underwhelmed in big moments his entire career.
Green Bay falls to Philadelphia last night. Did you enjoy it? Did you agree with Joe Buck, who said on the broadcast, the most entertaining 0-0 game?
No.
I was not in agreement.
I was not in agreement at all.
Nice to have the antenna game up for me, though.
Yeah, it was an antenna game for
me. Hold the line. Got $20 credit back on my YouTube TV bill.
That was a ballsy move to go for that fourth down at the end by Sirianni. You know his pucker factor was strong. Even though they won a title, you know how Philly fans react. Like, if they end up giving up that bomb to Watson, which could have, that throw could have been made right there. You know how people in Philly are reacting today? You go for it. What were they, on the 27, 30-yard line? I mean, that was...
They were on the 36.
36, okay.
If they were on the 27, I think you would have kicked a field goal.
I don't know how to gauge him sometimes. Like, how do you rank Nick Sirianni? There's an element of him I love.
Yeah, he's the right mentality to coach Philly.
Yeah.
The right level of brash, and I, you know.
Did you lose your mind watching them have another offside ball start?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Of like the most blatant one
yet? It was horrible. Three guys jumped.
And the refs just didn't
react. And the refs just stood there. So
it's unbelievable.
How many more times are they going to have the announcers just go, this is, what are we doing?
Last note on the game. I love when kickers, I wish kickers would do this more often, do the attempted field goal after the timeout. If I were a coach, I would tell my kicker to do that every time.
You want him to kick it?
No, at the end of the game, when they because you knew they were going to call a timeout. Mm-hmm. They had already called the timeout. Like, why would you not get a kick? Just test it. See where it goes.
That test in Philly was, that should have been a delay a game or unsportsmanlike.
It should have been, but they're not going to call that.
Here's
in that
the problem
moment.
What if, like, you make it the
it's
test.
Like when you get a foul in the NBA, what do players immediately do when the whistle blows?
Yeah, they shoot it.
You put a shot up. Does that, and what then guys you, try and go
but
block
see,
it.
This is where I think I differ. If they make it, don't you get nervous that they use their one good kick?
Maybe, or he's got the conf. I mean, the second kick was significantly worse than the first kick because the snap and the hold wasn't great and had no
his
chance.
His first kick came up a little short, so he knew he had to give it a little bit
64
more.
64 yards.
Of course it was. A windy 20-degree night at Lambeau. Of course he did.
That ball was frozen. Are you kidding me?
You're not kicking that thing through.
Let's get to NFL Factoid Tuesday next. All right, welcome back in. Durance break here on a Tuesday edition. We got a lot of coaches' audio. Jed Fish laying the law down.
Ooh, do you believe him?
That's actually a fair question.
Why wouldn't I be the coach at Oregon?
Weird LSU Brian Kelly story.
Very strange. You didn't fire me. Now you fired me for
cause.
He was
fired, but he wasn't. But he wants his buyout. But they obviously don't want to pay the buyout. So they're saying you didn't fire him. Well, if you didn't fire him, what'd you do?
This seems like a threat to, we're going to take you to court. Why don't we negotiate a lower buyout so you don't have to pay lawyer fees? Why don't we whack $10 million off of this thing? Because there's no chance they win this lawsuit.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Zero
chance.
It doesn't
make any sense.
Brian Kelly will get that money.
The Blazers blew the game yesterday in Orlando. That one hurt.
That felt kind of personal to me after I poo-pooed the Desmond Bane trade.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that was kind of a shot at me. Like right five first-round picks for me. Yeah. I've been terrible all year. Is this worth five first-round picks?
That's four and a swap there.
Yeah, four and a swap, thank you.
Baby Kobe had a game.
He did.
And
he was
awesome. He's not getting the ball at the end?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Drew Holiday had some bad turnovers at the end of that
he's
thing.
He's been so good at the end of games, though, for them this year. That's
who?
Drew.
Oh, Drew's had a great year.
That's the, like, I'm going to give him the ball usually in those situations.
Shouldn't you ride a heater? Is it fair to just ask, should you ride the heater of the kid who's... Yeah.
Give him an opportunity.
The $90 million man.
How many opportunities in his career has he even had to hit a game-winning shot?
That's a fair question to ask today. I don't know the answer to that, Andrew.
The old FBI Chance would usually put him on the bench in those situations. For Anfernee Simons was always taking that shot.
Interesting little conversation by Blazer fans of, do you build around Denny, or do we still think Denny is the second, third piece of a team? Most people I saw were saying second, whereas like I still kind of think at an elite level, third.
Ooh.
And he's having a great year.
Look at you hating on Denny Avdia.
I'm not hating on Denny
Avdia. Brandon Sprague on Twitter. Send your hate mail. You want me to give your email, too? Here's his cell phone number.
Brandon.Sprague at odyssey.com.
Dirt, you know what to lead with Richmond with when we talk to him later.
All right, let's get to NFL Factoid Tuesday. God, I hate you guys.
I love you.
I have a Tyler Shuckstad in here that's going to blow your effing mind.
Is he elite?
Got a nice little game Sunday.
I was told the Panthers are good. He beat a good team, so maybe he is elite.
We'll get to the Panthers being good part two.
I take it all back. Tyler Shuck, my bad.
Jonathan Taylor, who is 26 years old and has 7,152 rushing yards and 73 scrimmage touchdowns, 66 rushing, 7 receiving in his career, became the fifth player under the age of 27 with at least 7,000 rushing yards and 70 scrimmage touchdowns. He joins Jim Brown.
Pretty good.
Walter Payton.
Yeah, pretty good.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, not bad.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Hall of Famers all.
Every single one of those. And I will tell you, having watched that Sunday game, Jonathan Taylor is who I thought Trent Richardson was going to be.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair take. I mean, nobody saw Trent Richardson's career coming. And I certainly didn't see Jonathan Taylor being this good in the NFL.
This is remarkable.
There's been a lot of Wisconsin backs who were great in college who haven't necessarily had...
They're overrated,
usually. ...the dominant run in the NFL.
The Monty Balls, the
Ron Dane. There's a lot of them who have been
there
good.
There was a White in there somewhere.
So, yeah, there was a White.
His last name, of
he
course.
He was not White.
Not
the
a White.
Last name was White. I get what you're saying. Yeah. He's clearly the best of the bunch in the NFL, and he carries that offense, man.
Is he the best back in the NFL?
Right now, yeah.
He deserves that, right?
Absolutely.
I think
it's okay to adjust year by year, right? Like, I'm not saying in a fantasy draft you would necessarily take him over Saquon Barkley, but right now numbers have to matter, and he's the best back in the league.
Matt Stafford is the first player in NFL history with at least 4 touchdowns and no interceptions in 3 consecutive games. Yeah. Here's a mind-blowing Matt Stafford stat for you. Are you ready?
Ready.
Is your seatbelt on?
It's on. Click.
I need you to...
Click it or ticket.
Buckle up.
High school teammates with Clayton Kershaw.
How'd you know that?
What?
How'd
no
you
way.
Know my fun... How did
no
you know that?
No way. Wait, are you telling me Bo and Tez are brothers? Is that what you're telling me right now? I don't believe you.
By the way, if I was a high school DB, every single incomplete pass that I stop...
You're doing it.
I am
buckling the seat.
That is such a great DB. Or...
Wait, is that a buckle? The seat? I thought that was putting your sword away.
No, it's... Isn't it the buckle?
I thought it was... I don't know.
What are you putting the sword away?
I thought that was like putting your sword back in your... And what do they call the thing the sword goes in?
The sheath.
The sheath. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, I thought it was a seatbelt.
I don't know.
I thought it was a seatbelt.
You thought
it was
a seatbelt?
We are so old. Somebody help us out. We need a young to help us out here.
No, it's a strap down.
Okay, like I locked you down.
Yeah.
You're locked up.
Strapped you in.
Oh, I thought I went to battle with my sword and put my sword away. That's...
Would you do... You wouldn't put a sword away with two hands.
I don't know. You're probably wouldn't right. You I'm just telling you what like I thought. This? I don't know what it is. I didn't play defense in football. I didn't have any of these celebrations.
You didn't play defense in football?
Yeah, dude. I had a red jersey on, man. They protected me like China.
No wonder you're not in the Hall of Fame.
I can't get hurt.
Dude,
come
you're
on
a
now.
Candy ass.
You can't get the franchise
you went
quarterback.
To Cleveland.
Is Aaron Rodgers out there playing defensive end? I don't think so. You protect the MVP.
At every crappy smaller high school, you played
the quarterback
both ways.
Plays free safety.
Yeah.
Not when you're an elite pocket passer like me, okay? You can't risk me getting hurt. Season's going to derail, dude. We don't have any depth behind me. QB depth chart is thin.
I also loved the Jabbar Muhammad.
The box and the
box.
Thumb down.
I love the thumbs down. I do that to my daughter. It pisses her off.
That's a pretty good one.
What does that mean? I'm like,
I don't know.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. The only thing I can reference there is Gladiator, but I don't know if that's where it came from or not.
So here's 2 stats. One just got brought up. In the pocket. Andy Dirt Johnson completion percentage, 33.5%.
Erroneous nonsense.
That was texted.
Erroneous nonsense.
No, here's your Matt Stafford stat.
Yeah, what do you got?
He did grow up with Clayton Kershaw. That's a good one. Huge day in San Francisco for Matt Stafford. Why, Brandon Sprague? I'll tell you why. At 231 starts, it's the most starts now by a quarterback before reaching 500. That win Sunday made him a 500 winning percentage quarterback.
I saw that. That's so funny.
That is beyond dumb.
He is the epitome of why viewing quarterbacks through ultimate success is one of the dumbest things you can do in terms of teams' wins and losses.
He really should rewrite
how everybody
evaluates this.
Is Matt Stafford an elite quarterback? Is he
obviously
a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Right. How did we feel about him when he was in Detroit? Yeah, putting up numbers, but can't win a playoff game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Dirt. He played with his spleen explode?
He's one
something?
Of the toughest dudes you will ever see play that position. He put up awesome. He made the Detroit Lions relevant for the first time since Barry Sanders retired.
Well, him and Calvin.
Him and Calvin. No doubt. Calvin Johnson's Calvin awesome. I get it. And what happened the first year he left Detroit?
They won the Super Bowl, man.
Ah, look at that. You got him out of Detroit and he won the Super Bowl. He should be the epitome of why we don't view quarterbacks through that lens, but we will never get there. The scary part about them is the numbers you point out. Last year, go look at Matt Stafford's numbers in the regular season.
Can you not give me fantasy football PTSD?
I know. You had him at the quarterback.
Gave him away.
I know.
He couldn't do anything last year.
They damn near beat the Eagles in Philly in a snow playoff game, and he wasn't even playing that good of football.
He wasn't playing good football at all.
And now he's back to putting up these kind of numbers week in and week out. He might be the MVP frontrunner right now. If I had a vote, I'd probably vote for him.
Yeah, but Dirt, the epidural shots.
Yeah.
We should be concerned.
That back looks fine right now.
More NFL factoids next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
All right, we got more NFL factoids here on a Tuesday. So let's dive back in. Give me a second here.
You want me to throw one at you? Can I have one of the bunch?
Dude, I've always been welcoming more NFL factoids. Have you got any?
Throw them in. This is a factoid orgy. Is that what you're telling me? We all just kind of jump in and mix it up? There are just two rookies across the NFL this season with 250-plus receiving yards and 4-plus receiving touchdowns through Week 10. And they both play for the same team. Emeka Egbuka, Tez Johnson.
How about that?
Tez Johnson having a nice little rookie year, man.
He really is.
But that 40 time, though. I don't know about that 40 time, though.
He had a nice catch.
What about his weight at the combine? I don't know. Do we have eyes? Do we watch football? Is he a good route runner? Is he hard to tackle? Why do we do this to ourselves every year?
It was like the Tyler Warren debate. I'm like,
yes.
Dude, I watched Tyler Warren snap it and catch it on the same play. I think he can play football.
He's good at football.
Breaking news.
What's his shuttle jump, though, Brandon? What's his cone drill time?
Jared Goff is the third player in NFL history to have at least 45 games with 300-plus passing yards in their first 10 seasons, joining Mahomes and Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
That's a fun little stat.
That is a fun little stat.
Underrated football player here, and I think has been underrated for multiple seasons now, Devon Achane is the sixth player since 2000 with a rushing touchdown of at least 50 yards in each of his first 3 seasons in NFL history. He joins Chris Johnson, Deuce McAllister, Adrian Peterson, Clinton Portis, and Jonathan Taylor.
Deuce McAllister is a great throwback name.
Love Deuce McAllister.
It happens when you got speed, man. He had a lot of big breakaway runs in that win over Buffalo.
Achane is very underrated in the conversation of running backs. He has emerged as a very consistent, lethal weapon in Miami. Jackson Smith and Jigba joins Antonio Brown and Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin as the only player with at least 75 receiving yards in each of his first 9 games of a season in NFL history.
It's remarkable, man. Like, how are we going to view that if he ends up breaking the record?
He's a great receiver. I
just
don't know.
That would be what. Just like, think about saying that in August. Like, we all knew JSN was good.
If you would have asked me in August, hand to God, do I think JSN is going to enter a conversation, I would have told you yes. Now, did I see him breaking the record? Absolutely not. I'm not going to pretend that. What's stunning to me is that Jerry Rice is not on that list.
1,964 is the record.
Yeah.
So he's not, I mean, yeah, Jerry Rice not having, you know, him having a random game must have been banged up. There must have been something that he missed. Like, that's just weird for him to not have one of those.
Christian McCaffrey joins Timmy Brown in 1965, Roger Craig in 1985, and Marshall Faulk in 1998 is the only players with at least 600 rushing yards and 600 receiving yards in his team's first 10 games of a season in NFL history.
Yeah, he won't win it, but I don't know where he ranks in the odds. I haven't looked. I don't follow that market very closely. But that comeback player of the year is He's got a strong argument for it after the injury-riddled season he went through last year to come back. And they've had a lot of injuries in San Francisco, and he has been basically their entire offense this year.
Josh Allen had multiple turnovers for the third time in his last five games. The Bills lost all three of those games. Allen has six turnovers in the Bills' three losses compared to one turnover in their six wins combined.
Still has one little bugaboo as a quarterback, man. He just gets a little turnover happy with the football. This weekend, slightly different because it was in a torrential downpour, but he has funky turnovers from time to time. He could be careless with the football.
Best record by a quarterback over their first 100 career starts in NFL history. Patrick Mahomes, 78-22.
Pretty good.
Tom's Brady, 76-24. Roger Staubach, 76-24. And welcome to history, Lamar Jackson, 73-27.
Wow. It's also weird it's only been 100 starts. I mean, it makes sense when you think about how many games are in a season. Feels like he's had more starts than that.
Here's a couple gambling nugs for you. Lions have covered 13 straight games following a loss. That's tied for the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. The Panthers are now 0-11 outright in their last 11 games as favorites. It's the longest streak in the Super Bowl era.
Well, I should be shamed. I should have to wear a cone of shame for gambling on them this weekend.
The Browns are now 0-10 against the spread in their last 10 road games. It's the longest streak by any team since the 79-81 Steelers.
I really want Shedeur Sanders to start games in the back half of the year. Throw them to the Wolves. Give the fans what they want. Everything's going to be blown up. Stefanski's going to get fired. You're going to draft another quarterback anyways. You might as well sacrifice him.
The Rams have covered 8 straight as road favorites.
Ooh.
4-0 against the spread this season. Boys, I try to tell you, I cannot gamble against my team.
Yeah.
I would have laid big wood on the Rams to cover that number last weekend.
I didn't touch that game.
And here is one more for you, and we'll go to the second hour because we got a lot of fun coach audio to get to. How about a former Goduck Tyler Shuck factoid for you, because you guys claim him right now.
He's ours. He's a winner.
Let him lose the next week.
He's a winner in the NFL. He's a Duck legend.
Tyler Shuck was 19 of 27 for 282 passing yards and 2 passing touchdowns. Are you buckled up?
Buckled up.
Did we confirm that, by the way?
I don't think we've had the answer from a listener
yet. Is it buckled up or is it putting a sword away?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't
know. I always thought it was the straps.
I'll see if I can find a video of it and I'll tweet it out and I'll ask what it is.
With that win and that game, Tyler Shuck is the first Saints rookie quarterback to win a game since Dave Wilson in 1981.
Holy hell. That's pretty wild.
That was the longest active streak without a win for a team with a rookie quarterback.
With a rookie quarterback. And yeah, you got to think he had Breeze for almost 20 years there.
81. Yeah.
That's wild.
That is insanity.
That's wild. He's elite. Tyler Shuck, elite. We all knew it coming out of college. I called it.
Carolina sucks.
God, Carolina's back. Can I throw one last one at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, this was on Friday, so I know I think there's... Is Indy 8-2? Like, other teams are 8-2. But the Broncos at the time had the best record in the NFL after they won Thursday 8-2.
Yes, yes, indeed.
They also lead the NFL in punts with 53. Punts. And they lead the NFL in penalty yards. And at the time, now somebody's tied them, but at the time, they're still tied for the best record in the NFL.
You know, my wife was wearing Friday when I got home from our show, talking Oregon, Iowa stuff.
Was she wearing your punts, punts, punts?
She was wearing a punts t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Did you buy her a punts t-shirt?
I don't recall that.
Did I buy you a punts t-shirt or did I buy you a sweatshirt? I bought you,
you
one,
bought
but it was way too small.
That didn't fit.
It was like a child's medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thank you for that. You've never gotten me another one.
Well, see, it clearly was passed down to the wife.
Yeah, it's a crop top sweatshirt on
Boom.
My 5-foot wife.
Let's go. Now you got a punt sweatshirt in your household.
How about you get me a punt sweatshirt that fits me?
You're welcome.
There you go. NFL Factoid Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday at 6:30. Loaded second hour of the program. College football audio. Coach is speaking out. Why is everybody going at Notre Dame? Loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague. 105.1. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
they
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.